Okay, so we are learning Shoftim Perek Zayin, the story of Gideon. So we learned, we finished Perek Vav last week, and now we're up to Perek Zayin. So Perek Vav is all about, Perek Vav at the beginning deals with, discusses the Shibu, the persecution of Midian, and all the terrible things that they were doing to Bnei Yisrael. And then we have, the selection of Gideon, I should say. Gideon asks for a couple of signs to determine that he's really the chosen one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really going to help him defeat the Midianim. And, you know, we learned about those signs last week. And now we're going to actually discuss the at least the beginning of the battle with Midian. So the beginning of Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Bayashkem Yerubal, Hu Gideon, V'chol Ha'am Asher Ito. So Gideon, who's also called Yerubal, as we learned about last week, after he destroyed the Mizbeach of Baal and the Asherah of Baal, that's what we learned about last week, and his father gave him the name Yerubal. So here the Perek identifies him as both Yerubal and Gideon, and the entire nation that's with him, this entourage that has gathered with him, Vayachanu al Ein Harod. So they camped at this place called Ein Harod, Umachane Midyon Hayolo Mitzafon. The camp of Midian was to the north, so they were in the south. The camp of Midian was to the north. Givas Hamore Ba'emek. The camp of Midian was in this valley called Givas Hamore. That was the name of the valley. It was north of where Gideon and his men were camped, and that was the location of where they were. That it began there. That's what it says. Mitzafon Migivas Hamore. That's where it began. But as we're going to see, it was a very, very large camp. So obviously it wasn't located in that one specific area, but that's where the camp began, and then it went further north. Pasuk Beis, and this is fascinating. And again, I haven't learned this in years, but to see this conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Gideon is just fascinating. Vayomer Hashem el Gideon. So Hashem says to Gideon the following. Amazing. Listen to this. Rav ha'am asher itach. There are too many people with you. Too many soldiers. You have too great an army. Mititias Midyan biyadam. You have too large of a force for me to allow you to defeat Midyan. Why? What's the big deal? Why can't it be a large force? Why can't it be a large army? Pen yispa'er ala Yisrael lemor. Because if I allow this large force to defeat Midyan, they might get full of themselves. Yispa'er. They might think they're so great, so glorified, and they might say, Yodi Hoshiali. My own hand saved me. I saved myself. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Gideon that if you have a large force, so then people are going to think, what won this battle with Midian? The large force, the army, they're the ones who won the battle with Midian. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe yes, maybe no, maybe he was involved, maybe he wasn't involved. But says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's too large of a force. I want you to shrink this force. I want there to be a small army. So that way it's going to be absolutely clear, says the Malbim, that this victory is going to be miraculous. Nisim, that's what the victory is going to be. And I want that to be absolutely clear. So you have to whittle down your force. You have to get a smaller army. You can't come with such a large army. Fascinating, right? I mean, I can't remember any other time in the Chumash or in Tanakh that I remember, which is a very small part of Tanakh, but that we have this concept that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want such a large army, he wants a smaller force. But here that's what we see. This is his time to Gideon. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to shrink this force? He has a large force with him. How are we going to shrink it? So says the Pasuk Gimel, Ve'ata kirana be'ozne ha'om le'mor. Now, Gideon, you need to call out, so that the people hear, you say the following. Miyare v'chared yashov v'yitzpor mehara gilod. Whoever is afraid, miyare, the chared, and whoever is trembling, whoever is afraid and trembling, Yashov should return. The Yitzpor, which is a very strange word, the Yitzpor. We'll have to see exactly what that means. May Haragilad go back from Haragilad, which apparently was the mountain where they were camped, where Gideon and his men were camped. Vayashov min ha'am esrim ushnayim elef, 22,000 men, turn on their heels and go back. Wow. And 10,000 remain. So Gideon originally, you see clearly from the Pasuk, Gideon comes with a force of 32,000 men. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's way too much. We cannot have 32,000 men fighting against Midian, because if we do, then everybody's going to think, Kochi v'otzem yadi, it was us, it was the army, who is a large force. That's what won this battle. And I can't have that. I want them to know that it's Nisim. I want them to know that it's miraculous. So Zekarosh Baruch Hu, this is what you should say. Miyare v'chareid, who's afraid? Right, who's afraid? Whoever's afraid should go back. 22,000 men leave. You'd think like maybe 100 men would leave, 200 men would leave. 22,000 men turn around. Right, it's two-thirds of the force. 10,000 people remain. Okay? Okay. Now, what does v'yitzpor mean? So many of the mafarshim deal with this word v'yitzpor, which is a very strange word. Some say it's related to the Aramaic word safra. Safra in Aramaic means morning, like safra tava, like good morning. So safra means morning. So some say it means that they should get up early in the morning. And Mitzudas David, fascinatingly, says, why should they get up early in the morning? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care what time they go back? So he says they should go back early in the morning. Why? So that they're not embarrassed. Because here the pasuk is saying, Miyare v'chared, whoever's afraid should go back. These people, if they're afraid, they're going to be embarrassed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to be embarrassed. He sees the sensitivity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That even here, he wants these troops to go away. He doesn't want so many troops here. But he's makbid that they shouldn't be embarrassed. He's sensitive to the fact that they might be embarrassed if they have to leave. And therefore, go back very early in the morning. It sounds like before daybreak. Nobody will see you. Nobody will know. Oh, you wait. People wake up in the morning. There's only 10,000 people left. That's what it sounds like. Okay. Now, it's interesting. The Ralbag learns here, you know, I was thinking when I saw this pasuk, I'm sure some of you also were thinking this. When I saw this pasuk, I thought to myself, this sure sounds like what the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim, which we'll read in a couple of weeks. Parsha Shoftim, what does the Torah say? When it discusses Milchames Mitzvah, the Torah says that you should discourage some of the soldiers and tell them to go home. The Torah goes through all these things, that the Shoftim come and they tell the people, Miha Isha Sherbana Bayis Chadash Velo Charechov, someone built a new house and hasn't really lived in the house, should go back. Maybe he'll die and somebody else will live in the house. And I'm sure you remember these psukim. If someone planted a vineyard and hasn't harvested the vineyard, they should go back. If someone just got married, Asher Eras Isha, someone just got married or just got engaged and didn't get married yet, should go back. And then the Torah says that the Shoftim continued to say to the people, this is Parsha Shoftim and Sefer Tvarim, Mihaish Hayare Verach Alevav. Whoever is scared, literally scared, soft-hearted, yelech v'yashov l'meiso. Right? So what's fascinating here is that Rashi, on that spot in Parsha Shoftim, brings a machlokes between two Tanoim, what this means, mihaish hayare v'rach alevav. Right? Whoever is afraid. So one Tana, Rabbi Akiva, he says it means, literally, whoever's afraid. Whichever soldiers are afraid, you're not going to be able to fight if you're afraid, so go home. That's how Rabbi Akiva understands it. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, Mi'aish ha'yore v'rach ha'levav does not mean afraid because I don't have the gvura, I don't have the strength or the military might. Mi'aish ha'yore v'rach ha'levav means that a person's afraid because of their averos. I'm sure many of you remember that Rashi. The Rashi says whoever's afraid because of their averos, that they're not going to have the merits, they're not going to have the zechusim to protect them in battle, so those people should go back. And says Rashi, that why does the Torah preface with all of these other people? Somebody who built a house, somebody who planted a vineyard, somebody who got engaged, all these other people, and says, all you guys should go back. Why? To be sensitive to the people who are leaving because of averos, that they should not be embarrassed. So here we have the same exact concern in Sefer Shoftim, as we have, ironically enough, in Parsha Shoftim in Sefer Dvarim. Right? If a soldier is going back from battle, from the front lines, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want him to be embarrassed. In Sefer Dvarim, Hashem says, you can blame it on other things. Maybe this person's going back because he built a new house. Maybe he's going back because he planted a vineyard. Maybe he's going back because he just got engaged. Who knows why this guy's going back? I don't know why he's going back. Maybe he's going back because he's afraid of his averos. I have no idea. But there's ways that he can hide it. And in Sefer Shoftim, by us, what does Hashem say? Go back in the early morning, before daybreak, so that nobody should see. You shouldn't be embarrassed. And here too, the Mefarshim discuss that, and we're going to see there's actually two stages. Right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending some people back, and then we're going to see in a couple of psukim, Hashem sends even more people back. And there's a machlokas among the Mefarshim, which is which. The Ralbag understands that right here, Hashem is, just like in Parsha Shoftim and Sefer Dvarim, Hashem is sending back, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Mi'aish HaYarei V'rach HaLevav, Hashem is sending back the people that are afraid of their averos, that they don't have the zchusim to be successful in battle. So too here says the Ralbag, the same language is used. Mi yore v'chared. That's just like mi ha'isha yore v'rach alevav. Right? Yore yore, rach alevav is like chared, says the Ralbag. And therefore here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, whoever's afraid of their averos, whoever does not think that they have the zchusim to be successful in battle, to protect themselves, go. Right? It's the same thing as in Parsha Shoftim. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying right here. The Malbim disagrees. And the Malbim says here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Gidon are not sending back the soldiers that are afraid of their zechusim, are afraid of their averos, but rather they're sending back the soldiers that actually don't have the military might. He's taking it literally, right? Literally. Right, I'm sorry, the language here, Miyari v'chared, literally. A person who's afraid because they don't have the courage, they don't have the might, I need you to go back. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him. I need you to go back now, because if you don't have the gvura, you're not going to be able to fight. Now it's interesting. The Malbim also picks up on this word of yitzpor, and he understands that it doesn't mean you're going back early in the morning, but he says it's from the language of tzipor. Tzipor is a bird that flies. So what are we talking about birds here for? Yitzpor. So says the Malbim, and this is also beautiful. Says the Malbim that these people, who were, according to the Malbim, that were afraid of their averos, and that's why they're going back. So says the Malbim, these people are, I don't want you to go home, says the Malbim. Mehara Gilad, I want you to go and just settle on that distant mountain over there. Hara Gilad, I want you to settle there. Don't go all the way home. Why? Because part of this battle is that we're going to chase the Midianim, and the Midian camp, they're going to flee. We're going to see it, you know, towards the end of the parak, that they're going to scatter. Everyone, the whole Midian camp is going to scatter and run for their lives. So the Malbim says, you guys who don't have this chusim to fight, right? You're a little bit scared maybe of, you know, you don't have the courage, you don't have the might to fight. That's fine. But I'm sorry, according to the Malbim, it's averos. According to the Malbim, these people are afraid of their averos. So you don't have this chusim, I want you to go back. However, I want you to be involved. I want you to stay on that mountain. And when Midian flees, when Midian runs, literally runs for the hills, what do I want you to do? I want you to chase them. Give chase. Participate in the battle to some degree. You can't fight on the front lines, maybe, because you don't have the zechusim, you have too many averos, and that's why you're afraid. But I want you to be involved a little bit. I want you to settle on that mountain. And when Midian runs for the hills, I want you to follow. I want you to chase them. And I want you to be involved in that way. And here, too, we see the sensitivity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unbelievable. And not just he didn't want people to be embarrassed, but also HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people to be involved. And if people had averos and they couldn't be involved on the front line, let's find them another job that they can do. Let's find something else, another way that they can participate. These people wanted to come, right? 32,000 men, they joined Gidon because they wanted to fight against the Midianim. They wanted to protect Klal Yisrael. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you guys wanted to fight, you wanted to protect Klal Yisrael, we'll find you something to do. You can't fight on the front lines, you don't have this chosim, you have too many averos, you got to go home. But you know what? Don't go home yet. Wait on the mountain. When Midian comes, I want you to jump in and I want you to chase them. And that could be your chelek in the battle. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so careful that he wants everybody to feel like they're involved. Oh, Pasuk Daled. So you have 10,000 men left, right? You think that's enough, right? You think 10,000 men, that's one third of the original force. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. Vayomer Hashem al Gidon. Od Ha'am Rav. Still too many people. 10,000 men is still too many people. Od ha'am rav. Horeid, I'm sorry, osam el hamayim. I want you to do the following test, fascinating test, and I'm sure that this will probably trigger a memory for you when you first learned Shoftim. This is a famous passage here. Horeid osam el hamayim. I want you to take these troops and bring them down to the river, bring them down to the water. Ve'etzrefenu lecha sham. Etzrefenu, said the Mefarshim, it means to purify them, like a person will purify silver. So I want you to, I'm going to purify the force. I'm going to purify this troop, these soldiers there at the river. Behaya asher omare lecha ze yelech itach hu yelech itach. And the ones that I'm going to tell you that are going to go with you, they will go with you. Bechol asher omare lecha ze lo yelech imach hu lo yelech. And if I tell you that a person is not going to come with you, then they're not going to come. Okay? Sounds very repetitive, right? The Al-Sheikh asks, what do we need? You know, it almost sounds like a Tanai Kofu, like the double tanai of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Now, if you do this, then we'll follow. And if not, then we're not going to follow. Right? So here too, you know, the people that I'm going to tell you are going to come, they're going to come. And the people that are not going to come, they're not going to come. So the Al-Sheikh says, what do we need the double language for? Why do we need the conclusion of the pasuk? And not only that, he says, and let's say you tell me that you do need it for some reason. What do you need the word who? Who lo yelech? The word who is extraneous. It should just say lo yelech. So says the Al-Sheikh that Gidon was afraid. He knew that people were going to leave. But Gideon was afraid that maybe when the people leave, they're going to cause trouble because they don't want to leave. They wanted to fight. They're coming here to fight. So maybe when they leave, they're not going to leave willingly. They're going to leave kicking and screaming. They're going to cause all sorts of problems because they're going to cause trouble. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. V'chol asher omar ilecha ze lo yelech, hu lo imach lo hu lo yelech. Hashem says, according to the Al-Sheikh, that no. If I tell you the people are not going to come, they're not going to come. They're going to go willingly. They're not going to put up a fight. They're not going to make trouble. They're going to go absolutely willingly. That's how the Al-Sheikh understands. Comes the Malbim and says that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to weed out the The first pasuk of the Malbim said that Hashem was weeding out the people that didn't have the gvura, didn't have the military might. Here, the Malbim says, Hashem wanted to weed out the people who didn't have the schus. So I mixed up the two, according to the Malbim, these two psukim. The first pasuk, according to the Malbim, is he wanted to weed out the people that don't have the courage, don't have the military might. And now, in this pasuk, he's weeding out the people that don't have the schus. And he says, this says the Malbim, that's why it says, itach, right? V'haya asher omar ilecha ze yelech itach, hu yelech itach. Right? The people are going to go with you, he's going to go with you. Why does it say itach? That the people that are going to go with you are going to be with the same kavana, with the same intention that you have, which is what? That this is the Milchemes Hashem. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fight. This is a victorious, we're going to be victorious because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Nisim. This is going to be their intention. Just like that's your intention, that's going to be their kavana as well. That's going to be their intention as well. The others, they don't really believe in Hashem. There's a chisaron in their emunah. And therefore, as soon as they see a little sign of battle, they're going to run. They're going to run the other way. So that's how we're going to weed them out. And listen to this test. This is the test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Gidon to do. Vayored es ha'am el hamayim. So Gidon brings the whole force, 10,000 men. He brings them down to the river. Now, how are they going to test them? Vayomer Hashem el Gidon, and Hashem says to Gidon the following. Kol asher yalok bilushono min hamayim. Anyone who, and the way the Mefarshim explained the Pasuk, it's not clear in the Pasuk this way, but the way the Mefarshim explained this Pasuk is that this means that the soldiers that bring the water up with their hands, right? They cup the water with their hands from the river, and they go like this, and they drink the water by licking it with their tongue from their hands. Kol asher yalok bilashon min hamayim. Anyone who licks the water with his tongue, but it's with his hands as well, and we'll see that in the next pasuk. Ka asher yalok hakelev, just like a dog laps up the water. Tatzig oso levad. That group, put them off to one side by themselves. So the group that cups the water with their hands and laps it up like a dog, that group put aside. The chola sheyichra al birkov, lishtos, but whoever kneels down on their knees to drink from the river, I want you to put them in another place. What's the pshat? So says the Radak, the reason for this is that the people who kneel down to the river to drink, why do they kneel down? Says the Radak, because they're used to kneeling. Why are they used to kneeling? They're used to kneeling to worship Avodah Zarah. So says the Radak that we see that the people, the soldiers who kneel down instinctively, they kneel down to go down to the river and to drink from the water. It's because they're used to kneeling down out of, you know, to worship Avodah Zarah, and therefore that group of soldiers cannot come to battle. That group of soldiers, like the Malbim is saying, are deaf. They have the Avera of Avodah Zarah on their hands, and therefore they cannot participate. They're not going to have this chus for this miraculous victory. The Radak mentions an interesting medrash that says that in those days, not only did people worship Avodah Zarah, but they actually worshipped images of themselves, their own reflection. So says the Radak, that's another interpretation, that when they kneel down to the water, what are they kneeling down to? They're actually kneeling down to their own reflection that they see in the water. So So that's another sign that they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's actually, there's an interesting halacha that's related to that. A person's not supposed to daven Shemoneh Esrei in front of a mirror. Why? Because it looks like you're bowing down to yourself. You're bowing down to your own reflection. So that's similar, according to the Radak, that's similar to what these soldiers were doing. Right? There's a whole shaila about a window. Let's say you're davening, it's nighttime, you're davening Ma'arav by a window, so you can also see your reflection. So most posts can hold the windows okay, even if you can see your reflection, but a mirror is certainly problematic. You know where this is a major problem? A lot of people don't realize this. At chasanas, a lot of times in the halls at a chasana, you know, at the chasan's dish or whatever, the room often is covered with mirrors. You know, it's a nice decor for the room. The problem is that causes a lot of problems for davening. So you can't daven, facing a mirror. Okay, but that's how the Radak understands it. And then the Tzedas David also says that the Malbim adds another piece here, and he says that if they kneel, not just the Avodah Zarah, the way the Radak and the Tzedas David says it, but the Malbim says also that if they kneel, they're showing like their gusto. They're showing that they're so, you know, so thirsty and gripped with taiva, that they're so so thirsty and all they want to do is drink, you know, quickly, not like they're taking it to their lips and licking it slowly. So the Malbim says that's also a sign that these people don't have the right midos and they're not the people for this battle. Again, like I said, the Ralbag understands the opposite of the Malbim. The Malbim again understood first pasuk, the people that were being sent away were the people that didn't have the courage. This pasuk, the people that are being sent away are the people that with averos. The Ralbag understands it the opposite way. The first pasuk the Ralbag says is the people being sent away is the people with averos. And this pasuk, he says, are the people that are not going to be good soldiers. Why are they not good soldiers? So he says the Radak, I'm sorry, says the Ralbag, that that here, if you kneel down to drink from the river, you're lazy. Right? You're too lazy to bring it up with your hands, to cup it and to lick it. You're too lazy. You just, you know, shove your face down into the river. So says the Ralbag, that type of laziness, we don't want in a soldier. So the Ralbag understands that that's talking about laziness. These soldiers are not going to be good soldiers. And that's why we drive them away. And that's how we understand. So again, the Malbim and the Ralbag flip in terms of which pasuk is which. But both of them agree that both the people who are not going to make good soldiers, they don't have the courage or the military might are sent away. And the people that have averos on their hands, whether it's Avodah Zarah, whether it's Taiva, whatever the averos are, those people are being sent away as well. Okay, so how many people are left? Comes Pasuk Vav. How many people are left? Vayimis para malakakim bi'adam el pihem. And here we have the Pasuk is clear that it's bi'adam. That's where the Mepharshim get it from, that they're licking it with their hands. So the number of people that lap up the water with their hands to their mouth, shlosh me'os ish. 300 men. 300 men. V'chol yeser ha'am karu al birchehem lishtos mayim. And the rest of the people, that means 9,700 men, all knelt down at the water and drank from the river straight without cupping it with their hands. So we're down to 300. We started with 32,000 men, 22,000 left the first shift, right? Mi yorei v'racha, what was the language again? Mi yorei v'charet. Right, that got away with 22,000 men. We're down to 10,000. Now we have the second test of who's going to kneel at the river and who's going to cup the water with their hands. And now we whittle it down to 300. Okay, so we only have 300 men left. And here, this is the number that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. The Malbim says, it's interesting, he picks up on the fact, of course the Malbim picks up on this, as he always does. In Pasuk Vav, it says, V'chol yeser ha'am, all of the remaining people, V'chol yeser ha'am. In Pasuk Dalid, when we talked about the number of people that were going to be left, I'm sorry, not Pasuk Dalid. Where was that? One second, I lost the pasuk. Oh, sorry, pasuk gimel. The end of pasuk gimel. So there it says nisharu. It says only 10,000 remain. So it says the Malbim. What's the difference between pasuk gimel says nisharu, and pasuk vav says So he says Nisharu means they were intentionally left out. And again, according to the Malbim, that first group was intentionally left out because they didn't have the Gvura. They didn't have the necessary Gvura. Yeser means they're extra, they're not necessary. So I was thinking, the Malbim doesn't explain this, but I was thinking maybe the Pshat is that Pasuk Gimel says Nisharu, right? That these are the remaining ones. They were left out by Kavana because if you have soldiers who are not courageous, you have soldiers who don't have the necessary courage and might, that will hurt the force. So you don't want them there. They're intentionally left out. Nisharu, only 10,000 remain. That's intentional. You don't want those soldiers there. But if you have soldiers who, you know, they might have the might, they might have the courage, they just don't have the zchusim, so it's possible that they might not hurt in battle. Because you have enough soldiers that have the zchusim, and we'll learn Gidon has the zchusim, so maybe the other soldiers who don't have the zchusim, maybe they don't hurt, but they also don't help. They're unnecessary. They're extra. And that's what the Malbim says, that they're yes. That's just my shot, you know, in what the Malbim is saying. He doesn't say that, but that's just what I was thinking to explain what, you know, the difference. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Hashem el Gidon. And Hashem says to Gidon, Bishlosh me'os ha'ish ha'malakikim oshia eschem. With these 300 men who cupped the water, right, and lapped it with their tongues, those 300 men, with that force, I'm going to save you. V'nasati es Midyan b'yadecha, I'm going to give Midyan right into your hands. Chol ha'am yelchu ish l'mekamo, and everybody will be able to go back home. All the rest of the people should go back home. So we're down to this 300. Hashem says, perfect. This is the number that I'm looking for. Not the 32,000, not even the 10,000, the 300. That's what I want. These guys are going to be the victorious force. Everybody else can go home. Pasuk ches. So they took the provisions of the soldiers in their hands. Says the Al-Sheikh, this proves that the soldiers who left did so willingly. They weren't upset. They left. They actually left their provisions. They left the food that they brought with them. They left it there for the remaining soldiers. They left in good spirits. So they left their provisions. V'es shofro sehem, and they left their trumpets, the shofaros. The Eis Kol Ish Yisrael Shilach Ish La'ohalav, and they sent, Gidon sends this 9,700 people back home. Ubishlosh Meos Ha'ish Hechzik, and he retained this force of 300 men. Umachane Midyon Hayalo Mitachas Ba'emek, and Machane Midyon was below him in the valley. Even though we learned they were to the north, but the Pasuk says that they were below him, and presumably they were on some sort of a mountain here. Gidon and his men were on a mountain, maybe Har Gilad. They were on this mountain, and they were looking down at this force. In fact, the Malbim says that perhaps Gidon now went to check out the Midian camp. And once he has his force, once he has his soldiers, so now he went to check out the Midian camp and to see what was going on. What's interesting is that, you know, you talk about these shofaros, so the Radak says that the goal here was that every soldier should have a shofar. Right? Normally, not every soldier has a shofar. Every soldier might have a weapon, but you had a few people, the trumpet blowers, you know, they were the ones who had the shofaros. But here, the Radak says, every single shofar, every single soldier needs to have a shofar, and the reason is, we're going to see in a few minutes, that they're going to scare the daylights out of the Midyanim with these shofaros. So let's take a look at Pasuk Tes. Vayihi balayla hahu, that night, Vayomer Elav Hashem, and Hashem comes to Gidon and he says, Kumreid b'machane kinesativ b'yadecha. Go down and conquer the Midian camp. I have given them into your hands. Right? You got this. I'm behind you. I'm going to help you be victorious. Go defeat them. Fascinating. Listen to this. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds, Vim yore ata laredes. But if you're afraid, so strange, right? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say this? But apparently he sensed that maybe Gidon was afraid a little bit, and Itaka was, we'll see. But he says, and if you're afraid to go down and fight right now, Reid ata ufura na'archa, go down with you and your na'ar, your helper, right? His assistant, this guy named Pura, go down el hamachana. I want you to go down to the Midyan camp. The Malbim says that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him is that if you're afraid, so that means that I can't bestow the divine, you know, gevura upon you. You need a divine gvura in order to defeat the Midianim, in order to go to battle here. I can't bestow that upon you if you're afraid. He doesn't explain why, but again, maybe the pshat is because it shows a lack of bitachon, that maybe if Gideon was a little bit afraid, that shows a degree of a lack of bitachon in Hashem, and Hashem says, if you have that lack of bitachon, then I can't give you the divine gvura to be victorious. So I want you then to go down to the camp and listen. Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'shamata mayidaberu. Go listen to what they're talking about. Go listen to what they're saying in the camp. Ve'achar techezakna yadecha. And after that, that will give you strength. That will give you courage. When you hear what they're saying, that will give you courage. Ve'aradata ba'machane. You'll go down after that. Then you'll go down and into the camp, meaning to conquer and to defeat the camp. And Gideon says, okay. Vayered hu ufura na'aro. He was a little bit scared. He was a little bit afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not give him that gevura just yet, and therefore he decided, he takes his na'ar pura, and together they go down el kitzeah chamushim asher b'machaneh, to the edge of the Midian camp. It's interesting, it says el kitzeah chamushim. Chamushim means the armed edge. So the Malbim says that the entire camp was not armed. Fascinating. Like you assume that everybody should be armed, but he says the entire camp was not armed. But he says that the watchmen at the edge of the camp, they were of course armed. So that's why he was going down to the edge of the camp. And once you go down there, you listen to what they're saying, you'll have the courage, you'll have the gvura, and I'll bestow upon you the divine gvura, and you'll be able to go and to defeat them. Okay, well, let's continue passing your base. I just don't know exactly how this works. They might cut us off for 40 minutes. So if they do, then we'll Mirtz Hashem continue next week. I'm not sure how this works. Last week they gave us a little extra time. We'll see how it works. But if they cut us off, then Laila Tov. And Amir Tzashem will continue next week. But if not, then we'll continue for another few minutes. Pasuk Yudbeis, Umidyan va'amolek v'chol b'nei kedem. So now, as we learned in Perek Vav, this wasn't just Midyan, but it was Midyan, it was Amalek, right? The other nation that Amalek always loves to join in the battles against Klal Yisrael. And it was b'nei kedem, people from the east. They also joined in with Midyan, with Amalek. They were all noflim ba'emek, ka'ar be'larov. They were all fallen. I mean, here it doesn't mean exactly fallen, but it means they were all sleeping. They were all down there in the valley. This whole large camp down there in the valley, and the pasuk says they were like locusts. That's how many people there were in this force, in this camp of Midyan, Amalek, and Bnei Kedem that came to fight against Bnei Yisrael. The gigantic force Ka'arba looked like locusts spread across the valley. V'ligmalehem ein mispar. And their camels, there was no number, no end to their camels. There were so many camels that they had there to fight with them. Kachol she'asfas hayom larov. Like the sand at the seashore. This is fascinating because if you look back, if you have a Navi in front of you, and you look back at Perek Vav, the beginning of Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey, this is a very similar imagery. Ki heim, referring to Midyan, ki heim umiknehem, that the people of Midian and their livestock were like locusts, were numerous as locusts. Again, the same language, right? No number. It's so many people and camels. So that's when they came upon the crops of the Bnei Yisrael to destroy them. Here it's interesting. It adds in, I don't know why the Pasuk does this, and the Mefarshim don't discuss it, but it adds in a second imagery, right? There's two images here. There's one image of that there's so many people like locusts, and then there's a second image that they're kachol she'asfas hayam, which it doesn't say in Perek Vav, which is interesting. I'm not sure why. But it adds in here the second image of a numerous type of people, that they're numerous, and the camels are numerous, kachol she'asfas hayam. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So let's see what they hear. Vayavo Gidon. So Gidon approaches the edge of the camp. Vihine ish misaper l're'ehu chalom. And he overhears one person telling his friend about a dream that he had. So here's these two Midianite soldiers. One of them telling his friend about the dream that he had last night. Vayomer. Hine chalom chalamti. I dreamt the following dream. Vihine. Tzilil lechem se'orim. Very strange dream, and the Mefarshim go discuss this at length. discussing what the symbolism is, what the imagery here is. But there's a tzlil lechem se'orim. Let's assume, for the time being, all the mafarshim discuss this word tzlil, because it's not a common word. But many of them say that it means a roll, R-O-L-L, like a bulka, like a roll, a challah roll. So this was a roll of barley, you know, a roll of bread, you know, a loaf of bread, a loaf of barley bread. And it was mishapech b'machane Midyan. And this bread was turning over and over in the camp of Midyan, in our camp, says the soldier, this is what he dreamt. Vayavo ad ha'ohel, this rolling loaf of bread approaches the tent. Vayakeu vayipo. And it bangs into the tent. It knocks the tent over. Vayafcheu lamala. It flips the tent on its bottom. Venafal ha'ohel. And the tent falls. So this is a strange dream that this Midianite soldier has and is telling his buddy. I dreamt this dream last night. There's a loaf of barley bread just rolling through the camp here. It crashes into one of the tents, knocks it down. Not only does it knock it down, but it flips it. And the whole thing, the whole tent is knocked over, is destroyed. What's the pshat? So before we get to the symbolism, just to deal with the word tzalil, which is a strange word, and it's also, if you look in your Navi, there's a Korean aksiv, because it's written with a vav, tzalul, and it's read with a yud, tzalil. Tzalil, I should say. So what's the pshat? So Rashi says that the reason why the ksiv, the writing, is with a vav, tzalul, is because tzalul means clear. So Rashi says that this generation was free and clear of any tzadikim, which is not a good thing. Right? It means that there were no tzadikim. Right? It was clear. It was free from tzaddikim. It was clear of tzaddikim. The only tzaddik that we know of is Gidon. That's the only one we know of. But otherwise, the generation was cleared out of tzaddikim. The Radak says tzalil, the way that it's read with the yud, means one of two things. Either it means tzalil from language of like a bell, that it was a clanging, that it was very noisy as it was banging around the camp and crashing into the tent. You know, this loud, noisy a loaf of bread. Or he says tzalil can also mean that it was charred, like tzli, that it was roasted or charred over coals. And that's the idea of this bread. Part of the symbolism, says the Radak, is that imagine you have like this little loaf of bread that's like wreaking havoc on the camp of Midian. So the Radak says that part of the symbolism is that the Machane Yisrael, the camp of the Jews, which was weak, it was a small, right? It was a small force. It was Gidon and 300 men, which is a very small force, and certainly relative to this force of Midian, Amalek, and Bnei Kedem, which is like, you know, numerous as locusts and as a sand on the seashore. This little small force is going to wreak havoc in this large, strong camp of Midian. So that's the basic imagery, the basic symbolism, says the Radak. But what's really behind this? So there's two, fascinating explanations of the Malbim and the Alshich. They're related to each other, but slightly different. The Malbim says that what time of year was this? So we don't really know, right? It doesn't say. There's no indication in Perek Vav or Perek Zayin what time of year it is. But the Malbim says that if you go back to Perek Vav and you remember what Gidon was talking about, right? Remember when the Malach came to him and the Navi came to him, what did Gidon say? He was talking about a certain point of Jewish history. What was that? Yitzias Mitzrayim. He said, where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We did all the Nisim for us in Mitzrayim and took us out of Mitzrayim. You remember he discussed Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Malbim, why was Gidon talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim? He says, because it was Erev Pesach. That when this Malach, when the Navi came to him, it was Erev Pesach. And therefore the Malbim says that this night was Tes Zayin Nisa, the second night of Pesach. Second night of Pesach, what's special about the second night of Pesach? What's done on the second night of Pesach and the second day of Pesach? The Karban HaOmer. The barley is harvested at night, and the Karban HaOmer, the Minchas HaOmer, is brought during the day. So says the Malbim, that's why we're talking here about barley. This barley loaf, this is a symbolism, this symbolizes the Karban HaOmer, that in the Zchus of the Karban HaOmer, which is what's going on now, right? That's what's happening at this time, the schus of that Karban HaOmer. So that's going to be That's going to stand in you know for Klal Yisrael, and they're going to be victorious because of the schus of the Karban HaOmer. You see an amazing thing. You see the power of really the mitzvah Sayom. The mitzvah Sayom of that day was the Karban HaOmer, and in the merit of that Karban HaOmer, Klal Yisrael was going to be zocha to Yeshua. Klal Yisrael was going to be zocha to a salvation. So you see the power of the mitzvah of that time period, and that literally Klal Yisrael was able to tap into that kedusha, tap into that power, and were able to be victorious in battle as a result, partially of this schus of the Karban HaOmer. The Malbim explains the symbolism that as the roll or the loaf of barley bread is tumbling towards the ohel, so that's like Klal Yisrael approaching the camp of the Midyanim. When they knock over the tent, that's the fall of the Midyan camp. That the Midyan camp is going to be knocked over. Is going to be defeated. And the end of the pasuk, which talks about Vayafcheu lemal of nafal ohel, that it literally topples the tent upside down. So the Malbim says that was actually a second vision. The soldier is telling his friend the second dream. This was a second vision. And this was even once the Midyanim flee and they run for the hills, they're still going to be defeated again. And that's what we're going to learn about, that this other force was waiting in the mountains and they're going to pounce on them even once they flee and once they leave. The Alshech, and with this we'll conclude for the night, the Alshech has a little bit of a different understanding of the symbolism of this dream. And he says that this all goes back to what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. He also works with the Malbim's idea, which is based on the Yalkut Shimoni, that this is reminiscent of the Minchas HaOmer, and that was the idea here, that he says it was either the second or the third night of Pesach, so either they were about to bring the Karban HaOmer or they just didn't bring the Karban HaOmer. But either way, this was, again, he works with this idea that the mitzvah of the Karban HaOmer protected them. But he says that a whole different idea. He says that if you remember, we discussed this a little bit, I believe, in Perek Vav. I think the Alshech discussed this in Perek Vav. But the Alshech says that at Yamsuf, in addition to the Mitzrim who were defeated at Yamsuf, the angel of the Mitzrim, Uzai, I believe his name is, the angel of the Mitzrim, was also defeated. The angel of the Mitzrim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halolo of the Avodah Zarah v'halolo. Right? The Mitzrim worship Avodah Zarah, and the Jews also worship Avodah Zarah. So why are you saving the Jews and defeating the Mitzrim? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved the Jews nonetheless. Right? He saved them nonetheless. So here, says the Alshech, the fact that the role was mishapech. Mishapech means it was flipping over and over and over. What's the idea? So he says this also is that same idea. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah v'halalu. That the Midyanim were of the Avodah Zarah, but Bnei Yisrael were also of the Avodah Zarah. So it's not so clear. Did Bnei Yisrael merit salvation? Did they not? Going back and forth. That's the mishapech. However, just like at Yitzias Mitzrayim, they were zocha to Yeshua even though they didn't really deserve it. So to hear they're going to be zocha to Yeshua, even though they didn't really deserve it. The tent, says the Alshech, this ohel, represents the angel of Midyan. The angel of Midyan, like the ohel that protects the person, the angel of Midyan hovered above Midyan protecting the nation, and the merit of the Karban HaOmer defeated that angel, defeated the ohel, and made it fall down from his pedestal of protecting Midyan. And it's just like Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Alshech that at Yitzias Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, "Vayosar es ofan mar kevosav." And literally, that means that the Kadosh Baruch Hu knocked off the wheels of the chariots. So says the Alshech that refers to the angel of the Mitzrim. That he was the wheel of the chariot. He was the wheel that everything was going around. You know, he was the real force. Vayosar es ofan mar kevosav. Kadosh Baruch Hu defeated. He weakened the wheel of the chariot. He weakened this angel. And then, but still he was protecting them, you know, to a degree. But then at the end, he defeated that angel. Also, the angel died by Yarisolas Mitzrayim Mace. So the Chazal say that's not just the Mitzrim, but that's also this angel that Klal Yisrael saw died also. And that's also, says the Alshech, I'm sorry, at the end of the Pasuk, by Yahavcheil, that it was reversed. That usually the angel is looking down at Midyan to protect them. And here the angel was knocked on his back. And now the angel was looking towards HaKadosh Baruch when his back was toward Midyan. He wasn't going to be successful protecting Midyan anymore. He was subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looking out at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Bnei Yisrael to be victorious and not Midyan. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Baruch Hashem, Zoom did not cut us off. We'll stop here for tonight, and we'll continue next week with Pasuk Yudal. we'll finish the parak and learn about the actual battle and what happened and how Bnei Yisrael miraculously defeated the people of Midian. Thank you for joining. Have a wonderful evening.